You're entering the content studio. Sometimes it's messy, sometimes it's a masterpiece, but the process always makes us better. We'll talk about how you can reach your audience with the right content at the right time and grow your brand through content marketing. Hey everyone, welcome back to the content studio, brought to you as always by GLC. I am your host, Michelle Jackson. Today I'm being joined by a panel of editors, Megan Kramer.
Hey y'all.
And Michelle Markels.
Hi there.
Thank you guys so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk to you guys about the topic that we have today, which is taking a look at some of the social media trends we're seeing that we really feel strongly about clients starting to adopt right away. And then also on the flip side, some of the trends that we're seeing today that some people are adopting that we think that clients should be running for the hills from. And I know you guys in your personal lives are really close to this as well as the work that you do at GLC for your clients. So I'm really glad to get your thoughts on this. So Megan, I'll start with you. What's one trend on social media that you're seeing these days that you feel like clients should definitely adopt if they haven't already?
I would say video is a big trend to adopt if they haven't. It's certainly not new, but the way that organizations can utilize video is always changing and evolving. Many social media channels have live features where users can watch video in real time, from short snappy videos like TikToks and Instagram Reels. You can do Instagram stories or other types of stories or in-post videos on feeds. There's just so many ways that video can be used these days, and I think clients would be remiss if they didn't jump on this.
I think that you made a really good point in that, you know, several years ago or 5 to 10 years ago, when you're thinking video, you're thinking big production crew, professional equipment, big ticket items. There are so many tools now for you. And there's still a place for that, of course, right? Like in an ad campaign where you're rolling out a lot of money to promote these types of videos for TV or other channels. But there's so many ways to do this efficiently and cost effectively now.
The pandemic, I mean, it's hard to say that it's helped in any way, but it kind of has to maybe get you more comfortable with just, you know, getting the camera out and shooting. You can shoot a video in your home. It doesn't have to be high quality. It doesn't have to have, you know, professional equipment. And people are still going to watch it. They're going to enjoy it. And they're probably going to relate to it because they're also in their homes and they're dealing with the same struggles and the same issues. Like, you're just connecting more by being able to see people in a comfortable setting.
How do you guys think, for an organization that hasn't been involved in something like live streaming or video in general, what are some tips or ways for them to sort of test it out, get their toes wet, you know, get started?
I would suggest, like, you know, there are certain forms of communication that organizations have sort of perfected, if you will, or they're very practiced in, you know, their CEO or their chairperson of the board, you know, giving a prepared statement, setting that person up in front of a tripod with even a smartphone could be a really easy first step to just kind of bringing that type of prepared, polished statement to your audience. And not having to schedule a press conference for it, not having to, you know, get the earned media, if you will, and you can sort of take that narrative into your own hands. That's, I feel like, a comfortable way to sort of get going into this. It doesn't have to be, you know, creative and necessarily like witty or like responding to some sort of social media challenge. It can still be a formal platform and more just a way to sort of democratize the distribution of that message.
So what's something else aside from video, live streaming, that sort of thing? What's something else that you guys are seeing that you would recommend clients adopt today in terms of social media tactics?
I'd like to add that personalizing also helps with, you know, the dreaded Instagram algorithm that everyone hears about, or, you know, it changes all the time. Instagram is sort of making sure your content is seen when people engage with it, and people are going to engage with it if they feel more connected to it.
Yeah. And adding to that, I think, you know, some of the social media platforms, I'm thinking of Facebook specifically, promoted posts or paid advertising on those platforms, they have some really sophisticated targeting tools where you can really drill down to who is going to see that message or that post or that ad. So your ability to amp up the personalization based on those targeting factors, I think, is so great on some of those channels. When it boils down to any content you're creating, whether it's for social or a print magazine or a website or whatever it is, you know, the goal should always be engagement. And what is your audience looking for? I feel like that's a constant battle to make the communications that you're putting out less about you and more about who your audience is and what they want when they want it, right?
And another way to look at that too is serving your content in a way that no matter who your audience is, they can access it and they can watch it or read it or listen to it in a way that's convenient for them. Because, you know, you may have an audience that is visually impaired and they want to be able to hear your message. You may have an audience that's hearing impaired and they want to be able to read your video content. Closed captioning is, in my opinion, a must with videos. It may even be just a personal preference. You know, before the pandemic, people rode a lot of public transportation and didn't always want to have to scroll past videos in their feed. But if you don't have headphones, it's hard to enjoy those things in a public setting like that, unless you have no shame. But I mean, same thing goes for images that, like, there's a lot of talk now about images and text and how to design in a way that, you know, doesn't hurt people's eyes, and just being really thoughtful about all the ways that you can make your content not just entertaining or interesting, but really accommodate all those different ways that the experience of it can maybe be difficult for some audiences. So taking the time to really appreciate some of those challenges, I think, will go a long way towards that idea of personalization and making people, or allowing people to feel like your content is considering them.
So what's something else that we're seeing that we think is a positive thing for our clients to adopt when it comes to social media marketing?
Almost in like the last 5 or so years, there's been some research about what consumers expect of brands on social media, especially as it pertains to topics of politics and social justice. Sprout Social, which is a social media management platform, did a couple different surveys. And the first one that they did in 2017 noted that, you know, more than a majority, like 66% of consumers, want brands to take some sort of a stand. And that has actually gone up since then. Their most recent survey in 2019 found that it was up to 70% of consumers. And this is not without risk, because just because you take a stand doesn't mean that it's one that all consumers will also take or agree with. But, you know, it is important to consumers to know that the brands that they want to purchase from or align with don't just make products that they like, but also support the same values as them. And so that's something that we've seen brands try to do, some more successfully than others, but it is, you know, something that more consumers are expecting of the companies that they buy from and work with.
Along the lines of Michelle's point to being able to talk about or to make a stance for social justice, social media can help brands and organizations kind of keep that conversation going. People want to see authenticity and transparency from the brands and organizations that they engage with. So being able to continuously talk about things that are important will allow audiences to engage with you in the long term. And you can even keep the conversations going internally so that you're not just saying, you know, this is what we believe, and then letting that go. Like, you can prove that you believe something or you're behind something.
When you as a brand make a statement or you celebrate a certain occasion, whether it be, you know, with a post, whether it be Black History Month, whether it be something around climate change, really backing it up with all you do, you know, like it's not a one and done, do as I say, not as I do. It's a matter of taking a stand and then backing it up in what you do. So what are some things we're seeing that we would not advise clients to jump on that bandwagon. These are not something that are going to build your brand. These are not something that are going to win you over with your audience.
I think something that people do on social media that is comes off as inauthentic is over hashtagging, especially when it's like an attempt to just jump onto like an observation of a specific month or a specific day that, you know, you're celebrating. But, you know, if that's not something that you really put any sort of an effort behind, your business doesn't focus on it, you're just simply using the social media platform to sort of raise your hand and chime in with a happy XYZ day, I think it rings kind of hollow. And, you know, that's kind of at the best. At the worst, it can come off as really inauthentic, that you're just doing it to sort of check your box. Hashtags, in my opinion, the most strategic way to use them is when you are truly trying to categorize what you have to say with like conversations. You know, you're making it actually easier for people who are interested in that topic, that conversation, to find what you have to say and connect with them. It's really not meant to just slap a billboard on your post. It's to connect you with those like minds. So just be intentional and thoughtful about it. I think hashtags, there's definitely still a place for them.
Yeah, I think, Michelle, you know, it's there, and there's nothing more annoying than ridiculous hashtags that go on forever that you just don't find the humor in. What's something else that you're seeing that you would recommend not jumping on the bandwagon?
The pandemic has burned literally everybody out, so they don't really want to hear from you all that much. I just saw someone on one of my clients' Twitter accounts. He was glad to see that they were more active than maybe some of the competitors, but we only post about one or two times a day. So I feel like that is, right at this point, maybe a good balance.
Quality over quantity, right? What about, though, similarly, there's so many platforms, new ones are introduced, some go away. Do our clients need to be on every single platform? What would you guys say about that?
I would say no. There's definitely a generational trend or skew to the audience or user base of the different platforms. And if it really makes no sense for you to be reaching out to Gen Z, you probably don't have to, you know, worry too much about not being on TikTok. I don't think there's any shame in not being on every platform, especially if you can be honest with yourself and realize that if you don't have the bandwidth to give all of those the attention they require, there's, you know, you might as well do well on the ones that you do have the time and energy and resources to excel at, because having an account that is noticeably inactive or intermittently posting is, I would say, in some ways worse than not having one at all, because it just looks like, oh, did that company go out of business? Like, what happened over there? Why are they kind of throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks? I think it makes you look better when you can maybe have a smaller stable of platforms, but do really well at them.
Yeah, and that's another thing that comes down to knowing your audience and knowing where they are. If this were 2011, I would say hashtag know your audience. But it's not. It's 10 years later, and I'm not going to say that. Oh, I already did. What's something else that you guys are seeing that maybe we shouldn't be seeing, if we don't want to be seeing?
Something I saw earlier last year, during, you know, the height of the Democratic primary season, was kind of like a social media gaffe, I guess, that I think applies more broadly to just politics. But Mike Bloomberg, you know, famously spent a lot of money on an Instagram or social media campaign in which he bought sponsored content with some really popular, you know, comedic Instagram accounts. And it really fell flat. The point of the campaign was kind of ironic, to make it look like Mike Bloomberg doesn't understand social media, but it, you know, clearly it also didn't work. He did not turn out that vote. But I think, you know, even more so, I've seen this occasionally with other companies as well, that it just doesn't really work to try to insert yourself in that comedic, sometimes kind of crass genre of Instagram, especially if you're a B2B brand. I mean, it's just not the venue for you. And so I would suggest ditching that or just not even considering it.
Yeah, I think with that, you know, when you're looking at some type of influencer campaign or partnership on social media with, like you said, somebody famous, a famous comedian, whoever, you've got to sort of understand what they stand for and what their brand suggests. Is it consistent with what you want to portray and what your brand is all about? Because if it isn't, or is it just too bizarre of a relationship? Like, this relationship just doesn't make sense. And then people aren't going to make that connection.
Exactly. I think the key with sponsoring things and working with third parties, it's not just, do you want their audience? It's how well could you blend in with their original content mix? Because if you stick out like a sore thumb, again, you know, similar to like not being consistent about your posting, it's almost worse because you can trigger sort of like a negative reaction or like a distaste from the viewer who feels a little bit like their time was wasted because you popped up in their feed where they were expecting to see something else. It just doesn't mesh at all with what they've come to appreciate and like about that influencer, that publisher that, you know, they've already built a relationship with. Not to say that sponsored content doesn't work or isn't a great tactic. I personally love it for, you know, reaching a new audience, but just be thoughtful about, does what you have to offer match up with what that audience would already be interested in seeing, hearing, watching? And then also present it in a way that they want to see. There's nothing worse than you click on something that looks like a blog post or an interesting article, and it turns out that it's just an advertorial. So always be offering something valuable when you're paying to access somebody else's audience.
Yeah, good points. Are there any more ditch the trends that we want to talk about?
Also consider, why are you jumping on a trend? You know, what purpose does it serve for your brand? Is it, especially in the realm of 10-second looping videos that disappear after 24 hours, you know, what are you truly getting out of that investment? And if it's just views or impressions, like, was it worth it? Especially if it's something you're not, maybe not super sure if it's appropriate or if it makes sense. You know, you can always ask yourself that question as sort of a internal check to, you know, make sure you can at least clear that barrier, that there's a reason for this.
It kind of goes back to authenticity, right? Because whether it's someone you're partnering with or a trend you think you need, like, just, I mean, if you have to change your voice or it's like a different message than people are used to seeing, like, that kind of would have a negative impact on what people see as authenticity from you.
Yeah, I think that this topic of this podcast episode is something that whether we do it once a year or, I mean, there's constantly going to be trends that pop up in the social media world because it's just ripe for that sort of thing. And you as a brand have to constantly ask yourself, is this something that we need to pay attention to or not? I think that this is something that could be addressed by this group on a regular basis because there's just constantly things coming up and things getting thrown out the window. And I think it's a constant question for brands for sure. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking time to join me today. I had a great time talking to you and I feel like I learned some things.
Yeah, the conversation was really interesting. I appreciate hearing the perspective. I myself am not a TikToker, but I appreciate, you know, those people who are more fluent in it and are able to kind of keep me fresh, even though I'm not a frequent user.
I was just going to say, I agreed. I'm really mostly on Instagram, so I love hearing advice about all the other platforms.
So you guys need to mark your calendars because I want you back on the podcast very soon. And thank you guys all for listening, and we hope that you will join us again on the next episode of The Content Studio. Be sure to visit us online at glcdelivers.com.